Listen, I read through the Psalms this week, and in Psalm 8, chapter 8, David says that, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then this phrase jumped right out at me in verse 1. You have set your glory above the heavens. You have set your glory above the heavens. There's a sermon in there. We don't do sermons anymore, but I will say this. You need to take note of that one. The Lord is set as a priority. It comes across in the Hebrew this way. The Lord is set as a priority, his glory above the heavens. God is consumed with his glory. If Mike was concerned with his glory, you'd walk away from me and say, what an egomaniac. But God, who is the perfect God, creator, and et cetera, the author and finisher of our salvation, the list goes on of what you can call him, he has set his glory above the heavens as the priority. And the theme for this morning, which we don't usually give you the theme except for a little while from now, but the theme for this morning is the glory of God. I'm going to ask you to do this with your head bowed to help you focus on this. Would you worship God right now privately? It might just be that you got to this time of the week and it has literally been days since you have praised and worshiped him in any way. And could you give him the glory that is due him? But the challenge this morning in this exercise is this. You before the holy God of the universe, can you give him glory and worship and praise for a specific item or two in your life? Makes it more personal. But right now, as you're thinking about it, what would you worship and praise and give God the glory to for in your life, one or two specific things? Would you do that right now? Now, if you could look at me and listen carefully, that would be a great exercise to start your day and end your day with every single day. Put your head on the pillow and give him glory for something in your life. It'll change the way you worship and it'll change your relationship with him. Now that that's taken place, now comes the next step, which gets to be a little bit more fun. And if you're visiting, you know you're finding out that we're pretty mobile and you don't have an assigned pew in this church. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just take a minute and get next to somebody, stand, whatever you want to do, doesn't matter, and just share with them an item you can share. Share with them something that you worship, praised, and gave God glory for. Just share with them what the item is, all right? And then we'll get back to you with the microphone. Go ahead, take a few minutes and do that.
Scrambles my hair.
Okay, if I could ask you to head back towards your seat within the next minute. Head back towards your seat. What I used to always say. And as you're headed back to your seats, Now as you had found your seat, I don't know about you, I don't know what you heard, but this is where it gets to be fun. We don't make you share anything, except at this point in time, I'm going to go over to Jerry, because Jerry said something to me that he was giving God glory for, and I didn't understand a word of it. So I thought maybe he could share it, and you would go, Mike, I'll explain it to you later. I think I get it, okay?
You want to go over and translate?
Yeah, Glenn, you want to? Okay, let's listen to this very, very, very carefully, okay? You got it?
I think so.
Okay, we'll see.
I'm not sure if I can say that again. Sometimes the Holy Spirit kind of gives you something and you don't remember what you said. But what so amazes me, and I so praise him for, is that he is absolute perfection. His standards are infinite. Me, on the other hand, I'm at the opposite end of an infinitely long spectrum in my sinfulness, so distant from him that we can't even begin to express it. And yet, he chose to pay the price that was necessary for me to have a relationship with him rather than to burn in hell forever. And that just boggles my mind that he would do that for somebody so insignificant and puny, and he is so infinite and grand and large and majestic and powerful. He didn't have to do that. He could have wadded everything up and thrown it away, but he didn't. He redeemed his creation.
Okay, you get that?
Didn't you understand?
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. If you're visiting, a lot of heckling goes on at my expense. You'll get used to it. Okay, good. I'm holding it all back for another day. Anybody else want to share the thing that was shared with you as far as a worship, praise, give God the glory for? Florence, I'll hold the mic for you.
Oh, okay. I just went blank. Hold on. Give me a second. Okay, I'm praising and thanking God. My daughter had to have a brain MRI to see if she had brain tumors because she's a cancer survivor, and there were no brain tumors. And that just happened, and I am praising him and thanking him so much for that.
That's excellent. Absolutely. That's good stuff. Anybody else have something said to them? Hey, listen, not what you said, something said to you that you might want to just share. Don't have to mention the name of who shared it with you. Anybody? Put your hand. Okay, I'm going down on the... There's a word for the people that sit on the porch, and you know what it is, right? Porch pirates. And you got to... This is the speaking platform for porch pirates, okay? Hold on. You got to wait till you get the microphone. Here.
I am thankful because I'm here, and I'm thankful on Friday that my mom went to Lake Madeline Elementary School to sell out snow cones, and I got mine from her.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you, Mom. Okay, we appreciate that. Another hand in the air here. Who? Hold on, Bob.
Rosie and I both talked about situations in our lives where naturally we would have been worried or anxious. And I don't mean to say that I'm this way about everything in life that could bring that on, but for both of us, in that particular situation, God had shown his faithfulness to us enough that it just never occurred to us to be worried or anxious. We trusted, we knew that God was going to provide.
I like that. That's sweet. Anybody else? Hand up. I won't pick on anybody. I did pick on Jerry, and I apologize for that, Jerry. You want to go again? No. Okay, good. Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to share? I'm looking around. Not going to force the issue. Anybody, what'd you hear that was remarkable? That was fun to share? Okay. Good. Yes? No. Okay, let's sing together. Beth? Thank you. Okay, we come to that time where we ask you to get in a group of two or three. Very simply, our scripture for today is Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 25. Not a lot of verses. A very pointed story for one particular individual, but not a lot of verses. So Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 25. 12:20-25. I'm going to ask you, obviously, to find that scripture somewhere in your group of people. Ask you to find yourself in a group of two or three people. Move chairs if you must and get together. And what I'd like you to do is to go through, this is simple this morning. Go through that text and find me the main challenge points for me going forward this next week. What challenges you in that scripture? All right, go. Groups two or three, go. Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 25. If you could start looking in this direction, and as you're looking in this direction, have you chosen in your group somebody that might share? You don't have to share. It's only if you'd like to share. And we're going to do that right now. So I'm going to ask for a volunteer group to start by raising their hand. I've got one already in the back. This is good. You know, when you're fishing and you just put the line in the water and you, oh, that was the analogy I saw, an immediate hookup. Here you go.
Well, the first obvious thing is not to do any public speaking. The verse that stood out to us is 24. Here you've got all this attack on the church. James is killed. Peter's thrown in prison. Then you have the political conflict between Herod and these two other cities, and then Herod's death. But the word of God kept on increasing and multiplying. And we just have to remember, we live in a pretty raucous time politically and scary worldwide, and yet to remember the word of God keeps on increasing and multiplying. That's the kingdom that we know will prevail and will reign for eternity.
Solid. I was hoping somebody brings something out like that because that's so important for today, where I'm at, where we're at. Okay, anybody else want to share from their group what they saw? Yes, hold on, Kathleen, you got to have a microphone, you know.
just to piggyback on that verse a little bit, notice that it said the word of God grew and multiplied. And at first when I read it during the week, I thought, why use both those words? You know, that seemed like it was repetition, but it really isn't. And so we understand that multiplied, we can understand, and some churches are really emphasizing multiplying, how many people are in the church, and, you know, bigger, 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 more, more, more. But notice the word grew is first, and that's within each one of us. So there's two ways that the word of God, it grew, and then it multiplied out.
Hmm. That is a great observation. My goodness. You guys are all ready to preach. That's what you're going to do. Okay, somebody else, hand up, like to share? Would you like to share with us? Okay, somehow I imagined that to be true. Okay, hold on here. Here we go. Shelley, I was not like this as a child, but close. Shelley's always psychoanalyzing me, okay?
What do you
mean? No, not yet. I got to put a microphone in your face, okay? So come stand right up here. Here's the speaker's platform. There you go. And just speak into the microphone.
To give God the glory of everything of the world.
Very good. To give God the glory. I like that. That was wonderful. And well, it's another group, an insight, a challenge from my week. I love the way we parsed a few of these words. Hold it. Dr. Tom?
So the problem is the kid stole it, see. But we will piggyback on that. We decided the issue was challenge. And the challenge in the text was exactly that one. Do I give God the glory, or do I spend my time, energy, and focus on all kinds of other things and forget his glory altogether? And so the challenge for the week was to give glory to him.
So far, we're good. Anybody else want to add to that? Add another color. Hold it. Glenn, let's go here.
Laura, Shelley, we spoke about King Agrippa did not give glory to God, reminded of King Hezekiah when he looked out on Great Babylon that he had built and took all the honor and the praise about it until God humbled him. And the question is, what am I doing in my life in which I'm not giving God the glory?
Thank you. Nice. We agree. Okay, Jerry?
One thing that I just thought of just before Glenn started talking, that Rose and I didn't even talk about, we tend to think of, you know, making sure that God gets the glory when people praise us, and we want to try to defer that praise to God and make sure that he's praised. What if nobody, you did something really excellent and nobody saw it, nobody knew anything about it? Would you still give him the glory and say, thank you, God, for helping me to do that, making that possible? Or would you just go, I done good, didn't I?
This week on the way to work, I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about people in places of power. And they were talking about the governor of California putting up billboards supporting abortion and using the words of Jesus on the billboards. And I think it was John MacArthur has actually gone all against him and said that even though we pray for our leaders, we have to also stand up and tell them when they're wrong.
Great insight. Anybody else? I wanted to share one thing with you, really. One thing and then a deeper hook at the end, which I'm still working on. So this isn't going to sound good. You got this? It's not going to sound good. All right? Yeah, I'm looking at you. Okay. Everybody in here saw the fact that the glory of God is predominant in God's existence. He's about his own glory. Everybody picked up on that and picked up on some other good themes too. But it's very much worth paying attention to Herod's actions. Herod was playing nice with the Roman emperor. He had to play that way and keep his region in peace. And what he did that the historians record is the fact that he actually joined up with Judaism and became a convert just to make the Jewish leaders happy, to make eventually Rome happy. If you have that in the back of your mind, then you understand this. He went on to persecute the church in the previous chapter. He killed James. And right after that, it says this, and when he saw that it greatly pleased the Jews, the Jewish leadership, he decided, okay, who's next? Peter, let's whack him. And Peter gets out of course by the angel and doesn't get killed immediately because it's a Jewish holiday. if you put this study together or not, how this works, okay? What happens then after this is more than interesting, and that I need to keep in mind, and I even wrote it here, that I need to remember that when you're persecuted for the cause of Christ, it's actually Jesus who's being persecuted and not you. And by the way, it's also Jesus who takes offense. Don't you be quick to run in front of him and take that offense. Herod was persecuting Jesus Christ, and at the heart of the matter, for somebody who claimed to be a Jew, for somebody at the heart of the matter who stood up in front of the Jewish assembly and they made a big deal of it as he converted over to Judaism to follow the one true God, when he accepted worship in verse 22, an angel of the Lord strikes him down, and I'm not going to do it here, but I could go through some details that I read in historical accounts in Josephus, and if I told them to you in detail, you would not eat lunch. So let me tell you what I saw, okay? It was a graphic death of not worms, it is worms, but it's the same word of parasites, which was common in this region. And if you got it, you knew you were a goner. And it ate from your intestines out. Keep going? Okay, I will. It leads to some uncontrollable circumstances about your bodily function. Should I continue? Sure. Steve, no, be quiet. Please be quiet. And he went through 4 to 5 days of this graphic, gross, uncontrollable thing that happened to him. That everybody knows what I'm talking about. And then he died, and they said along the way, it was a very painful death. All because he touched the glory of God. We all get this, right? No excuses as to why God doesn't get all the glory. Here is the twist. Let's go deeper. Can we do that? Can I give you something that I've been working on for the past couple of weeks and I don't understand it yet? Can you help me understand this one, Jerry? Okay, here we go. In one of our more recent systematic theology classes, one takes place tomorrow night, reading through a book like this. I mean, if you get mad, you just throw it through the window. It's just so big and so heavy, but it's so wonderful and easy to understand. And we talked about the fact that God is omnipresent. How about you? I was raised Catholic. I was raised with the catechism. And we were taught about God. And here was the question. Phil, help me, all right? Where is God? Phil?
God is everywhere.
Phil's a former Catholic just like me. And if you were raised in some denomination that did catechism classes, you understand that I was taught from the kid that God is where, Phil?
Everywhere.
He's everywhere. Thank you very much. And you think, what does that have to do with this? Well, let me tell you what I thought as a kid about this. When they said that God was so big that he was everywhere, here's how I had him pictured. You got to look at me to get this. He's big, and so his head is got to be somewhere near Venus. And if he was big, this hand must be somewhere near Mercury. And these feet, they must be somewhere out in the Andromeda complex because he's just so big and he's bigger than creation. And I'm being really dumb right now with something I really believed as a kid. Of 17, okay, just a little guy, but the truth of the matter is in this, I really believe God is bigger than this universe, because it says he is everywhere, he's omnipresent. The only problem is that, and you've got the same thought, whether you admit it or not, here's the twist in it. The fact of the matter is, God is so big that he is, listen, completely present in every single situation and every speck of his creation. Meaning, we are on little road in this house. This very little house as compared to the universe. This less than a speck in the universe. And if I believe the scripture to be true, God being omnipresent and everywhere is completely present right here. Meaning, his head, his heart, and you can't do this, God doesn't have a body, but you're getting the idea, his hands, his feet, all of him is present here, just like it is on the planet Pluto. Is it a planet this week? Okay. The body named Pluto, way out there, okay? All of him is there, all of them is here. Now hold on, the twist continues, and the twist goes like this. And this is where Christians get caught up. This is where people who proclaim Christ lose it. And that is that within me, every bit of God exists as well. I'm not saying I'm a God. I'm just saying his presence, every bit of it is in me too. So listen, let's get ugly for just a minute. Do you know that I have got a secret place? I've got a secret place that I go to in my house, and I shut the door, and nobody knows what goes on in there, and I feel free to do it in there because nobody sees me. I'm talking believers right now. Do you know that I've got a secret part in my heart where I am so mad at you? And I'm sorry, Glenn, you're an illustration. You know I love you, but here it is. And I've got such a bad attitude about you, and if I could get away with it, I think I'd hurt you in some way, and I talk bad about you, and I keep running a line of things in my mind to my fellow believer, Glenn, how much I just can't stand him. And what, you sit there and go, well, I've had some of those attitudes. I've had some of those feelings, and I harbor them here, and I feed them, and I let them grow. And you know what? Here we go, oh follower of Christ. God's there too. And on the outside, I have no problem coming to a gathering, coming to a small group, going out and sharing Jesus Christ and trying to be good with my neighbors and all that other stuff, because I'm doing all to the glory of God, just like I'm told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Do all to the glory of God. And I'm doing it out here. I'm even going to go down to Hurricane Rescue, and I'm going to help rescue kittens down there where the hurricane hit. I'm going to do good stuff. But listen, that's out here. Do you ever realize that doing all to the glory of God starts in my heart, my inmost beings, where I harbor those attitudes and those feelings? Do you understand that there? Hold it, let me go even further. Where I harbor those secret sins, I hate that word, but the reality is, let me do it anyway. I harbor those secret sins that absolutely nobody can see, but I enjoy just thinking about them. Get the idea? The God of the universe, being omnipresent, demands that I give him glory in the things that I do, yes. In the things that I say, yes. Hold on, let's keep going. And in the things that I think, and in the attitudes that I have, and the feelings that I have, God needs to be glorified on the inmost part of me, where he already is and sees what's going on there. That, to me, is a thing I've been working out. As some of you are in a systematic theology class, I have been working that out for weeks as to how does him being everywhere affect me giving him glory everywhere. Would you bow your head with me? Our Father, as we bow our heads, we realize that there just might be a place in my life where I've not been thinking and acting like God is not there. Can you imagine actually thinking that you can have a place in your house or in your heart where God is not there? Hold it. God is not fully there. And maybe this morning, because of the way we've looked at the scripture and thought together, maybe now you realize that you're not completely honest about the business of giving him all the glory. Because there is a part of you that you enjoy holding on to, that you're withholding from him, even though he's present in that part of you. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now with our heads bowed, eyes closed, just so we can focus, what do you have to do, or what do you have to change? What do you need to repent of so that God does get the glory in the inner you and also the outer you? Father, we do thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ has invaded our lives. We thank you that your Holy Spirit, the whole part of God, lives within us so that we might be able to focus outward and show others that he does live within us. Father, I pray that you continue to cause us to be redeemed, Father, and to be refined, and to be grown, and to be perfected, to be like your Son, Jesus Christ, for we give him all the glory. Amen. Would you stand with us and sing?
We're going to close our service today singing the Revelation song, because it's got that amazing chorus that says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." So let's sing this together as just a declaration of to the glory of God. Thank you.
bow with me for prayer? And I'd ask you, would you please pray? Would you pray that this week, and do it right now, you might not have ever prayed this way. Would you pray and ask God to help you to show others his glory? Would you pray and ask God to help you, even show you, how to demonstrate his glory to other people this week? Would you pray that way right now for just a minute? Father, I pray that we would be very conscious of the fact, both inward and outward, that we reflect your glory. Father, that people would know exactly who you are in the universe because of what we show them and what we tell them. And use us this week, Father, to do just that. I commit us at Candlewood to you on that mission in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.